Hi, and welcome to the Muslim Hippie Podcast. This is our inaugural show. I'm your host, the Muslim Hippie. My name is Sakina, and I'm happy you're here. So I want to read you the description for this podcast so you get a feel for what we're all about. This is a new podcast weblog about all things mental and chronic illness. You'll hear perspectives from the standpoint of the patient, the caregiver, the ally, etc. Join us as we get into the issues of the day. We'll tackle stigma, abuse, and discrimination, and maybe a few random topics as well. Welcome. So today, I want to talk about alcohol use disorder and recovery, what it means to be quote-unquote dry, and I'll give my thoughts on 12-step as it relates to recovery. Before I begin, this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for medical advice, nor is it therapy. If a listener needs medical attention or help, they should ask their doctor or therapist. This is a discussion and opinion session only. So what is alcohol use disorder? According to the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, and I'm paraphrasing here, alcohol use disorder is an illness where the urge to drink and or consume alcoholic beverages is overwhelming. A person has trouble resisting the impulse despite the consequences. Alcohol use disorder can be treated in a few different ways, such as cessation medications, targeted therapy, and support groups and mentoring. Some people have issues with binge drinking, which is characterized by consuming a lot of alcohol in a short amount of time, or weekend drinking, which is more of a social style of drinking or a party atmosphere. A person can have trouble monitoring how much alcohol they're consuming due to the setting and the circumstances. Now, who is at risk for developing alcohol use disorder? It could be someone with a family history of alcoholism, someone who started drinking at an early age, someone with comorbid mental health issues and or trauma. Next, I want to talk about being a dry drinker, which is it's typically an AA concept, but really it just means being sober but not in active recovery. So it's when you're not drinking anymore, but you haven't addressed the cause or causes of your alcohol use disorder, so the addiction is still present. This can lead to other addiction issues and unhealthy behaviors such as food and sex addiction, exercise addiction, binge eating disorder, to name a few. So when you're sober without a recovery plan, often people can be unsure how to keep themselves occupied and satisfied. You might be thinking, I've stopped drinking, now what? How do I spend my time? How will I address my anxiety? Can I still have fun? Sometimes people in this situation are missing coping skills, or they have inadequate ones. Someone may not be sure how to use their own skills to help them stay positive and move forward. In addition, they may go through a period of depression or instability as their body adjusts to the new life without alcohol. So on the topic of recovery, there are a lot of recovery tools for those with alcohol use disorders. One is the 12-step model. So I was reluctant to use 12-step for so many years. I thought that I didn't want to get sober for anyone else, because I had to do it, meaning I was forced to do it. I didn't want to use meetings as a crutch and relapse when I no longer had the support available to me, and I was afraid to get involved with the sponsor. I wanted to make changes that were authentic to me and ones that I could sustain. So then recently I had an opportunity to engage with a particular 12-step community for a few months, and I met with women's groups in recovery houses, various home groups across the city, and I lived in a sober living home. And here are my thoughts. Number one, though I got a lot out of the 12-step program, what I found is that 12-step tends to use loaded or negative language toward the alcohol user, and then you're seen as dishonest and not to be trusted and weak and weak-willed. People tend to assume the worst of you first. They may tell you things like, you're full of crap if you don't subscribe to the program properly, rather than, I see your potential, can I offer some suggestions? And those phrases that I offered, they weren't necessarily real ones. That people said to me, it's just the language is skewed towards telling a person that they're not good enough first, rather than offering solutions. That having been said, there were many positives to my 12-step experience. I liked the accountability and camaraderie, and I loved the friendships that I made. Those are lifelong. And I liked the structure, and I also liked the focus on a higher power. So the biggest lessons that I learned from 12-step were in holding myself accountable to the law, myself and others, and making amends in general. For me, these two things align with Islamic principles. I felt like, such as ihsan, or excellence, and doing things to the best of our ability, and taqwa, or awareness of God. So what I wanted to do now is do something like we often do in meetings, which is open the big book and open to a chapter and read a portion and then interact with it. So the big book that I have, this is the original 1939 edition, and I'm actually just reading on the inside jacket that says only this original 1939 edition includes all 29 stories of the program's pioneers, which share the details of their full journey, including initial recovery, sometimes followed by relapse and eventual success. This edition also features the key to the solution claimed by Bill Wilson, a vital spiritual experience that allows followers to rediscover or discover God. I actually hadn't seen that before. So one thing about the blue book is when you open it, you find something new. And when people said that initially, when I got to 12-step, I really thought it was just a trope, but I found out that it's actually the case. So I'm glad I found that. But what I wanted to do is open to what's on page 59 in my book, and it's section 5, how it works. And I want to read from it, and then on the back of it we have the 12 steps, and I was going to share those, and then we will be done. So this part of 12-step is often introduced to you at inpatient or possibly PHP. And so I have seen and heard this before, but when I was in an actual program, I interacted with it differently. So just to give you an idea of what I was mentioning about the language part, so in this part of the book it says, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. So where I took a beat was saying that somebody was incapable of being honest with themselves. And I wonder if that's because I am relating to it personally and worried that I am not always honest with myself. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. So what I wrote down in here in my book is honesty is a recurring theme. And one of the things that I liked was that I met somebody who just wrote in the book. And I'm realizing, like it or not, or however I interact with the material, I like writing the book, asking questions, and it does fuel my recovery, because that's how I interact with the world these days, is that I'm learning to sit with material that I'm not comfortable with, almost practice mindfulness, and then move forward. So next, our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. That's actually very true. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And number four, which step four actually is one of my favorite steps, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, which is another favorite of mine, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. So for me, steps eight and nine came together. And then, let's see, 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And finally, 12, having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So that's what I wanted to kind of just get into today, not really making any conclusions. Just wanted to share a few things for this first episode of the Muslim Hippie Podcast. And it looks like we've come to the end of our time. Thank you so much for listening, and see you next time.